Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Neusbaum Transportation. This is episode 140, and we're talking about the ideal team player, the winning trio, humble, hungry, and smart, right?
Yep.
I'm with Scott Herman, the man, the myth, the legend.
Apparently.
Your title is?
Yeah, the software engineering director.
Okay. So. And how long have you been at Neusbaum?
So I've been here 7 years.
Okay. So 7 years, and you started off in recruiting?
In HR.
HR,
so in safety.
Sorry, safety.
Yep. Doing some scorecard stuff and working with drivers, Geotab.
And then from there, you ended up in
IT? So right before COVID, I went into IT as a project manager and then ended up with moving to product management. We shifted stuff around and I started managing people, and then that's kind of what got me to the spot where I'm at now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something I asked Scott to do this because he has a heart for people, right? And making teams form to be the best team they can be.
Right.
And
yep.
I had the honor of working with Scott, so starting off in IT, and he was my manager, and really has, you have a heart for this.
Yeah, I mean, just the potential, right? Mm-hmm. Like you get a number of people together and they have unlocked skills, and like if you can unlock those and help them work together, like you can accomplish things that you never could just either individually or even just like understanding like the different ways that make us each tick and under the things that go into being an ideal team and being ideal team players.
Yeah. Yeah, so relevant to all of us, we all want to love our job and love our teammates.
Right.
And so I love this topic of talking about what makes a good team player and how do you not be a bad team player.
Right, yeah. Yeah, none of us really want to be a bad team player.
So when you ask yourself that question, like we talked about this last time on the podcast with The Working Genius, and we're on this Patrick Lencioni kick.
Yeah.
So he also wrote The Working Genius, and he wrote The Ideal Team Player, which has a bunch of stories in it about what it means to be the ideal team player, and he defines it as three things. But I don't want to spoil it quite yet because we want to get to know Scott just briefly, and then we'll do Icebreaker, and then we're going to talk about what is the ideal team player, how do you grow to be the ideal team player, and what are some stories behind the ideal team player? So to start, Scott, so tell us about yourself a little bit and who you are outside of work.
Yeah, so married to Janae. We got married 10 years ago, so we celebrated our 10-year anniversary this summer. We have four children. Brecken is 9, so we had babies right away, and they kept coming. So so Brecken's 9, Arwen is 7, Zane will be 5, and Ren is just turned 2.
Yeah. So what is it like when you get home? Is it like a mob? You get mobbed by your kids?
Yeah,
they
usually.
Try to knock you on your feet?
Yeah, at least the younger ones.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on the day, how many. But usually they're at the door. So.
Yeah, that's great. What do you like to do together as a family?
Like if we have, like in our ideal world, we're out hiking in the woods, just outside in general, playing baseball in the backyard or soccer. Or, but yeah, just being active and being outdoors.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
And then why Neusbaum, why trucking? How'd you get plugged in there?
Yeah, so like I had no connection to trucking. I was really attracted to Neusbaum because I had heard a ton of good things about the culture. At the time, I was working in accounting. I got my degree in accounting, I was working in accounting, and was getting headaches from focusing on spreadsheets all day.
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't really have too much of a team. I was the only accountant and didn't interact tons and tons with other people. And so I was starting to feel just kind of like wanting to get back with more people. So those two motivations, trying to find something that was less like intense on my eyes and then also like actually working with people again.
Yeah.
Kind of got me. So, yep.
Okay. So you threw a dart at local businesses and found Nussbaum?
Yeah. Yeah. So I talked to people. I had some mentors that helped me in the process. Really looking back, I had a lot of people that poured in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Dale Strassheim, actually. Mm. He's on the board
of directors.
But he helped me. And one of the things that he said is, he's like, even if it takes a while, find a company that has a really good culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you can find a company like that, then you can grow with them. Mm-hmm. You want to be there long term. Mm-hmm. Like stick it out. And thankfully, I don't think I really knew much about Nussbaum. I honestly didn't even know like how much like a work experience could be different at the time. But I'm thankful for God's help that he placed me here.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty clueless. But it's been great. I've loved working here.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Shout out to Dale. Walking you through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then I have a fun icebreaker here. If you could choose, we're talking about teams, right? How do you make a good team? So a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
This team has to survive a zombie apocalypse. You get to choose a coworker to join you in this endeavor of surviving.
Okay.
Who are you choosing?
Well, I think about this every day. No, I don't actually.
You wait. This is the first question that comes in your mind.
Yeah. So I would choose Brent Martin.
Okay.
For all the obvious reasons. I think he's got everything in his basement right now that we would need.
Yeah.
So that's like a huge plus. And then I think he would also really enjoy just having to survive. Like I think that's what he like lives for, is the day where the world kind of goes under and he can actually just like live his survivalist world. And so he'd be happy. It'd be fun to be with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He lives to survive.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
No, I get that. He probably knows the most about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
camping, survival.
Like he would be able to hunt animals. Mm-hmm. He'd have a bunch of supplies in his basement. He'd probably have guns and food already. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's fun. Fun way to start thinking about what makes a good person to conquer any task with.
Sure.
Right? Whether it's a zombie apocalypse or a spreadsheet. What's a good person to work with?
Yeah.
So to start, I wanted to ask, what is the ideal team player? If you could break down, what are the different aspects of the ideal team player?
Yeah. So Lencioni, that's what this is all based off of, is his book. He kind of breaks into three parts. Someone that's humble, someone that's people smart is how he describes it, but basically just like understanding people and how they operate. And then someone who's hungry or hardworking.
Mm-hmm. Hungry doesn't mean to eat a lot.
Yeah, it means to eat a lot of hamburgers. No.
Yeah.
No, hungry is definitely like that hardworking, purpose-driven, if you want to tie it into Nussbaum's values. Yeah. I think sometimes we can mistake hunger, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That hunger just means like immense drive.
Yeah.
And really, I think like a healthy hunger is more about purpose.
Mm.
It's like you understand why you're doing what you do, and you also understand the impact of it. I think an example of this, like you could think of like Joy Kissinger when she was doing her the service team or the help desk. She was passionate about helping people get through their problems, right? Mm-hmm. And so get to the end of the day, 4:30 or whatever time that is, she's gonna spend the extra minutes to make sure your problem's resolved. Someone that's hungry sees beyond just like, okay, I'm here to do A, B, and C, and then I'm out of here.
Right.
And sees the overall mission.
Hmm. So, an overall goal with what you're doing.
Yeah.
With this topic, too, it's kind of funny to think about it. Sometimes to think about the positive way of doing it, it's easier to think about the negative way of doing it.
Sure.
If we understand what is it not to be an ideal team player, like I mentioned, what is the unideal team player. So I came up with this fiction character.
I'm excited to hear
it. Mr. Me First.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't that sound like someone you want to work with?
Maybe. I mean,
No, it's not. They're pretty terrible. Yep. And so I came up with this little story that to wrap our minds around what does it mean to be the ideal team player? So meet Mr. Me First. Well, Mr. Me First came to his first meeting on the job. And he misses daily, every day, he misses his regular stand-ups meetings. If he does make it, he's very late. He's never available. He's trapped in a fortress of noise-canceling headphones and with sticky notes saying, do not disturb unless on fire. Well, Mr. Me First, you ask him a question, and he replied to me the other day, and he had a curt reply saying, I already solved this. Figured it out. You're good. And then I came into the lunchroom, and he ate my lunch. Funny enough, Mr. Me First thought my lunch was his. He borrowed my pens, he broke them, and he broke his laptop within the first week. And he says someone else did it. That's not a great guy. And in order to solve this problem of working with Mr. Me First, we created a Teams channel just for Mr. Me First. So he's not working with other people. It's just him. So if we need to contact him, we just contact Mr. Me First Teams channel. That worked for a while. We gave him independent projects where he could do stuff on his own. But he ended up coming up with this new line, this product, Nussbaum Air. And he released it because he's on his own team. And it went over terribly, and we got lots of bad reviews on Nussbaum Air. And so now Mr. Me First, he left Nussbaum, and now he started his own blog, and it just has 2 followers. So that's the story of Mr. Me First.
Gotcha.
Sounds like quite the great guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, sounds great. You threw me with the eating lunch. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. But as I was thinking about this, it made me visualize, what does it mean to be a good person to work with? How can I become a better person to work with?
Right.
And some of those points were convicting to me as far as, you know, I mentioned timeliness, being available for someone. Like, there are times to do heads down work, right? When we need to get focus, and that's when we create value. Yeah. But how do you balance that with also being someone that is a pleasure to work with, right? So those are tough questions that I'm wondering as I'm thinking about these things.
Right.
And obviously, most people, you've never ate someone's lunch before, right, Scott?
I haven't personally. I've heard of people that have. Okay. So shout out to Drew Martin. but, oh, man, sorry.
Throwing him under the bus. Wow.
Yep.
So coming back to some of these things, so we talked about hungry, wanting to take on things, to stay, know the purpose, the overall goal.
Right. Yep.
Walk me through, what is the humility aspect? How do you become a humble person?
Yes.
Or what is a humble person?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think just caring about your team just as much as you care about yourself. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where, like, the team worked on something, but one person got the credit. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between, like, if that one person actually shares, like, says, no, Bob actually did this part, mm-hmm. Mary did this part. Dayton was a huge help. I couldn't have mm-hmm. done it without Dayton's help. Contrast that with someone that's just like, yeah, thanks. Like, I worked hard. whereas, like, the rest of the team really helped out as well. So I think just focusing on, like, being, it's really kind of just, like, good judgment of, mm-hmm. like, being able to understand that I'm only one person mm-hmm. on this team. I should be thinking about if it's a team of four, I should be thinking of myself about 25% of the time.
Yeah.
Rather than 95%, which is what we're all kind of prone to do naturally.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about humility as well is, like, we can pick arrogance out mm-hmm. really quickly, especially in others, but even in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we might miss, like, the type of pride that's just, like, a continual self-focus. You might mm-hmm. think, okay, I'm not the best, but I'm, like, always still thinking about myself and, like, how this is impacting me, how I look, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I get that. And I mentioned deep work, going deep and focusing, and that's an area that I've been trying to grow in for myself.
Sure.
But yep. then the tendency there too could be if somehow that gets thrown off, then I get angry or have right. a bad response with someone.
Yeah.
So then, not that what I was doing was bad, but how balancing those things too and learning how to see the overall picture of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? Like yeah. it's not just my sense. Work, but you also have your work and...
Yeah, right. being able to see that, okay, it's not just my goals that need accomplished. Mm-hmm. It's the rest of the people's goals as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So I like that. When we talked about this beforehand, we had a prep meeting. You said to be humble is to listen more than to talk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that respects the other person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So being able to listen, give credit where it's due, and then smart. This one gets us kind of confused. What is it to be smart in the ideal team player?
Yeah, well, it's not like IQ. It's not like the chess players or whatever. but yeah, the people smart, like in this model, is really just about understanding people, mm-hmm. understanding like how they're gonna react to a situation, understanding how your actions impact other people, showing empathy. I think if you pick. Like just someone that has like an outgoing, energetic personality. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, Elisa Burton, right? Mm-hmm. So if she was in a room mm-hmm. and everybody else is like chatting, having a good time, and she's just kind of off to the side mm-hmm. and not saying anything, mm-hmm. Someone who's people smart can read the room and they can see, oh, like Lisa, like she typically is really outgoing. Mm-hmm. Why is she so quiet? Mm-hmm. And if they you know, they can maybe follow up then afterwards and just say, hey, I noticed that you're quiet. Like what's mm-hmm. going on? Is yeah. there anything, that you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. So yeah. So like just that, mm-hmm. that awareness of like how people, operate. Mm. So
yeah, that it's awareness. We need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think of it like if I'm a boat, a big, you know, cruise liner or whatever, we leave waves wherever we go, right? There's no yeah. way to move without leaving waves. Yeah. And that's going to mess with the other boats in the water too. So I need to be careful, and the example you gave, responsive, reading the room when I do something, how is that affecting other people? And someone that's not EQ smart will just kind of barge in and doesn't care what happens with the other boats in the water.
Yeah.
But someone that has EQ is going to, okay, like I should probably turn this way a little bit and be mindful of what's going on over there. Or maybe in some situations asking someone, you know, how can you help out? How can you accommodate someone? How can you work together? And yeah, I think that was a good example you
yeah.
gave. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So another thought, so Patrick, he always uses stories and examples. Another example that you can think of with the ideal team player is like Steph Curry, right? He's
sure.
humble, he shares credit, it's not just about me.
Yep.
He is hungry, he like gets the hours in on the court like none other, and he's smart. When he makes the plays that he makes, they're a team first mentality, right? He's playing with the team in mind together. It's not just the one man show, Steph Curry, but it's the whole team together. So that for me, that was another way to look at it that helped me understand the ideal team player.
Yeah, that's nice to just kind of like picture some people or people that you respect
yeah.
and just say, okay, how do they do those three areas? Yeah.
So you got Mr. Me First over here and you got Steph Curry.
So who do you want to be?
Who do you want to be? That's the question. So actually that is the question. So the first one is, what is it?
Right.
And the next is, how do I grow, right? Those things are easy to understand. I can read that and say, hungry, humble, smart, done. All right, I'm just gonna become hungry, humble, and smart. It doesn't just happen like that. So I wanted to ask you, because you have studied this material,
right.
you've led other people yeah. through this,
yep.
how do I become those things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that's kind of the heart of like what I'm passionate about with Ideal Team Player, is just that you're not stuck. If you feel like you're lacking in one of these areas, like, and you want to grow, like you can grow. So I'd say, the first step is just knowing like which one of the three you want to grow in. And you might be able to do just a self-assessment and just know. But I would say also that, just getting friends, coworkers that know you and just asking them, okay, rank these for me. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say is my the one I need to work on most? What would you say the one that I'm best at? Maybe one in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then take one area and focus on it. So,
yeah. Yep. So when you're looking at these things, trying to identify, the first step is to identify your strength and then weakness.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So when you're doing that, looking at, asking those people in your life that can help you assess that.
Yep.
So when you identify your weaknesses, how do you start to grow in those areas?
Yeah.
Let's take each one as an example, right?
Yep.
So let's start.
Details.
Yeah, details. Let's go with smart. How do you become a more EQ sensitive person?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is, like, you kind of have to want to.
Mm-hmm.
I think with humble and hungry, those are both character based a little bit, like, mm-hmm. hardworking, like humility obviously is just, it's the reverse of pride, and pride is the mm-hmm. root of all sorts of sins.
Right.
But with, like, people smart, it's just, it's not really a character thing. It's an awareness base. I think like you talked about with your boat mm-hmm. analogy, like, awareness is key. Like if you're driving a car
mm-hmm.
And someone's half blind, like, or if someone's that's half blind is driving your car,
yeah,
like, that's not like a character problem, but you still don't want them driving your car. In the same way, like, mm-hmm. If you're on a team with someone that doesn't, if you don't have people smarts, or someone on your team doesn't have people smarts, they can cause problems just by that lack of awareness.
Mm.
So your original question was, like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
So the nice thing about Nussbaum is I feel like there's a bunch of resources that we have available through GrowRed mm-hmm. and LeadRed. I would say usually those are some of the first good places to start.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you've never done the Crucial Conversations class or read the book,
mm-hmm.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good, just like, on how to have, like, high conflict mm-hmm. Conversations. There's a couple assessments. Working Genius, most people have already taken when they come. GDI assessment gets into more. Mm-hmm. Like, that creates some self-awareness. And then I would just say, like, make it a game. Practice, like, if someone's responding a certain way, like, guess, like, why they are, and then ask them, like, are you responding because of this?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, you're totally off. And then you're like, well, okay, well, why are you responding?
Yeah.
And then you, like, kind of like get, like, a muscle for mm-hmm. Like guessing, like, what people are doing, and then, like, affirming with them, like, is that actually, like, why you responded that way or not? And you start to understand people more.
Mm. So. Yeah, and that takes time. It's like the kids' room, like a playroom. There's a chart where it has, like, smiley face,
right,
unhappy face, confused face, hungry, frustrated, all the different emotions, and you can kind of choose one of those. How are you feeling today? And for you to be EQ smart is to look at someone and saying, well, they're kind of coming across this way. I think they might be frustrated because I sent them an email at the last minute.
Yeah.
And now they have to work extra hard to do something. So anyway, so that helps you know how to work with them better, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it just helps interpersonal relationships so mm-hmm. much. And I would say also, like, a lot of us aren't very good at it. Because we have that natural tendency to self-focus, mm-hmm. if someone responds a certain way, we might think, oh, it's our fault.
Right.
Or, oh, they're mad. Or we might not even give them, it might be the opposite, where we're just like, they don't care. But, like, reality, they had a horrible weekend.
Yeah.
And their dog died. And,
yeah,
you know,
right. Totally.
Like there's so much that goes on in people's lives. Just having a, like, a better awareness of,
for sure.
of, like, why they're doing what they're doing is helpful.
And you think about this ideal team player and this skill of reading the room, having empathy, giving other people grace. I thought I was an EQ person, like, smart, until I got married.
Yeah.
And then I realized how much I missed the mark. Like, so often of something, it's like something might come up and I think it's like, oh, is this the problem? Like, is this what happened? It's like, no, it was completely something else.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought it was EQ smart, when that really revealed some of my weaknesses with that. And so I think with this, I want to be someone that gives grace to people and thinking like, who is the person you're wanting to become? At the end of the day, do you want to become like Mr. Me First, or are you going to become like Steph Curry? We're going to keep using that because it's working well.
Yep.
And so
and
I thought
he makes a lot of money too. So
yeah, right. Helps. So if you do these simple steps, then you can make a lot of money.
Yep. It's guaranteed to succeed.
Yeah. So this next part is humility. How do you become a more humble person? You said this one's more of a character attribute, right?
Right. Well, the fact that you're self-aware enough to know that like you're struggling with humility and are willing to admit mm-hmm. it is a really good first step. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say like group accountability, like accountability with your team. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, like I'm struggling with self-focus here. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. Like that is huge. Can you call me out? like when all I'm thinking about is myself or where you sense like that I'm just pushing for my own agenda and, mm-hmm. and am not listening to others. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's one thing. And that helps just like break the ice and bring it to the light. And then I think like your goal is not to like focus on yourself less, right? Your goal is really to focus on other people, and to care about other people. Mm-hmm. And so starting with simple things mm-hmm. like asking your coworkers, what'd you guys do over the weekend and take an interest in their lives is like a good, both mm-hmm. of those are just like good first steps and growing in that humility.
Yeah. And I think that's someone that builds trust.
Right.
Someone that is interested in the whole part of you, not just what can you do for me? Because work is very interaction based. A lot of stuff, I do this for you. And then you'll do this for me, or I come to you, Scott, I need something. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
And so making it not as interaction based, but receiving you as a person at the whole being there and being a listener, like you said, you come to the table with emotions and everything. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
So that's a great one. So a simple way to start doing humility, to practice that, is to ask someone, how was your week? And then listen.
It's something that anybody can do. And then listen. That's the key part.
Listen.
Yeah, don't check out. Don't just be like, okay, I'm done. Yeah, checked it off the list and moving on.
It's like they start talking. You have this inner monologue. I'm such a great person. I've done so good today.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I'm really crushing this humility thing. Yep. Yeah, and if you remember it a few days later, like that's bonus points. Yeah. So circle back with
bring
them.
Bring it back.
Yep.
Yeah, ask them how is it going?
Yeah.
Hungry, this next one, is not about eating burgers, but...
not that type of hunger.
By having a hunger for your work and your purpose. You said this is the easiest to grow in. Why is that?
I think it's because we all have internal motivations. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like tapping into those motivations. Mm-hmm. You're going to be here for 8+ hours a day. Mm-hmm. Like why not like tap mm-hmm. in it? Like, what do I want to accomplish? And I think we all want to accomplish something.
Right.
And so if you can tie in your normal day-to-day experience with like your overall goals, then that can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Ideally, if you want to succeed, it'll be aligned with your team's goals, right? Because like your manager wants you to accomplish the goals of the team. And so understanding your team goals and getting excited about them is probably the easiest way. Hmm. Like ask your manager, like what is the goal of our team? If you're not like super enamored with like your team's goals, so like for example, so like our software teams, like our two goals are we want users to be super satisfied with the software that they use. Mm-hmm. And we also want to drive business value for mm-hmm. Newsbomb. And if neither one of those like really taps into like, oh, I care about this, mm-hmm. but you really do care about helping other people and being part of a team, you could like come in motivated to help the team
yeah.
achieve those two goals. And that's mm-hmm. a way that you can kind of tie into like the goals and hunger and mm-hmm. just like building your hunger up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the key I think is just knowing what motivates you sure. and just remembering that like in the day to day.
Yeah. 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 It can be easy just to become something to punch in and punch out. Right.
Right.
So tying it back to the mission, know your why.
Yes.
Why are you doing this? Why do you show up?
That's a great way. That's better than everything I said. I think your why. Well, that's great.
But you explained the why.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great way. And that was an example of how the why works. So your purpose in your department, for the whole company, for you personally, what is your why? And yep. You can grow in hunger because you can just start doing it today. I mean, you could... The next morning, you could come to work early. You know, hungry is something you could just kind of will yourself to a little bit more, more so than the smart. You can't just say, I'm going to be
right.
more EQ smart. You have to grow, like try to do stuff. But with hunger, you can start to pick up new tasks and ask people, your teammates, hey, how can I help you
yeah.
do what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a little bit more like actionable
yeah.
in your control.
Yeah, yeah. Do you need any help with that project you're working on? And yeah, just being able to, you can just start asking people and hopping in.
Yeah. There's a quote, I think it goes something along the lines of like, if you want to care more about your job, try harder. Like just like so if you start pouring in, if you start creating that focus, mm-hmm. That in itself generates some of that energy and hunger. So
just try harder.
Yeah.
Is that original? Scott Herman.
No, it's not actually. My brother told it to me. I don't know if he got originally or not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. It's
so.
Good. So, yeah, we have a couple things that we can start to work on.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, if you want to learn more about these things, you can read the Ideal Team Player book.
Yeah.
It is
it's
in
a good read.
Story format. So, if you like hearing stories about what makes a good employee, and a bad one.
Yeah.
The good and the bad. Sometimes the bad's more fun to listen to, but it also gives us lessons for how to grow. So this last part I wanted to hone in before we finish today is what are some stories and ways that it has helped Nussbaum and then ways that it has helped you? So let's start with Nussbaum. What are some ways that it has helped Nussbaum grow?
Yeah. So I would say in general, like it's helped us in hiring. Like if you look, like honestly, we're super spoiled. Like if you've worked other places and then work at Nussbaum, like just the sheer amount of Ideal Team Players that we have here, is crazy.
Like so you're on a
shout out to HR on that.
You're on a roster of Steph Curry.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
That's who's right. another famous
Ideal Team Player.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dayton Rumble.
Derrick Rose or
yeah. But yeah, so to answer your question, yeah, I feel like in hiring, like great people work here. And then it's also just like teams can use it to like if someone's lacking in one of the areas, just creating that awareness. I've done it I think on all the teams that I've managed, like just actually just reading the book. Mm-hmm. Going over it. What's nice is that like it gives you like language. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key thing. And I'll actually share, this goes into how this has helped me. So I'm gonna actually combine these
sure,
two a little
go
bit.
Go for it.
I was part of a team, not at Nussbaum, mm-hmm. Where we had one member of the team that was really hardworking and really intelligent. But his communication style was just a little bit off, that it made it really hard to work with him. Mm. And so as you can know, like emotions start to rise,
right.
like it resulted in some unhealthy conflict.
Mm.
We always talk about like good, healthy conflict. This was unhealthy. And you've probably been in this situation. I'm sure a lot of other people have too, of like, that's just like a really like helpless, feeling, or even just like you just like, I don't like those situations. Right. Cause it's volatile and it's emotional and it's just like, okay, we're not actually accomplishing, what we're trying to do. And so we actually did the training as a team, We're able to highlight and rank for ourselves what our strengths and weaknesses are. This person ranked people smarts as his lowest.
Oh, okay. That's good.
His
highest.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been more awkward.
Yeah.
But then it just helped because it was because the reality is, we needed him. He was a very hard worker. He was it split it from being this situation where, okay, hey, like you're really hurting the team, to saying, no, you're doing a lot of stuff well, mm-hmm. but can you grow in your people smarts, right? And so, to me, I think that's the advantage of being able to talk about this is because it really does just allow you to address the actual issue and to also put it in the form of you can grow from this, you can get better at this, mm-hmm. rather than just coming at it hey, you're not a good. You're not a good team player.
I don't think anyone likes to receive feedback like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you're kind of bad at this. But if you do look at it hey, here's something you can become the next. You have a lot of great qualities. You have a lot of great things that make you who you are, that make Scott Herman the special, success that you have.
Sure.
And everyone has those special things that they bring to the table. But how can you become the next best team player and become a better version of that, and kind of refining, because a lot of the people we work with, everyone we work with is great. I'll say that. Everyone we work with is great. But how can you refine that and become more gold? You think of the crucible that's firing up heat, and you kind of melt out those imperfections. And I got lots of them. Every day I make tons of mistakes, and I have to give myself, I have to give other people grace. But how do I go to that next step? And it gives you language to be able to grow in those things without knowing, well, I think I should just be better.
Yeah, exactly.
it takes it from being vague to being something more specific. Okay, I'm going to grow in my humility. I'm going to ask Scott how he is doing today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that it's a win-win-win. Which you don't find that often in life, but it's a win for the individual that needs to grow to be more like an ideal team player, because their personal growth, mm-hmm. they're also get to grow and be part of a good team.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for the rest of the team, mm-hmm. because when somebody's blundering through things or not really showing up and not hungry,
right.
Or it's all just about themselves. Creates a bad work environment.
Some dread associated with your work.
Right. Yeah. And then for a company, teams full of ideal team players accomplish their goals a lot more often. And so it results in productivity and good results for the company. So it's kind of why not do this?
So you're not wrong.
Yeah.
We can make more money if we become the ideal team. We can become Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right. So in a way, it really does work that way, though. The company is more profitable, and in turn, you profit. You not only are you becoming a better person, but you're benefiting the people you work with, the company benefits. Yeah, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody loses.
Nobody loses.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you mentioned hiring. And the team development is another way that Nussbaum has used this.
Yep.
And then culture.
Yes.
Becoming a place that we grow, that the place you're at. Yeah.
Yeah, holding that as an ideal. Even before we read the book and had this as a framework, I remember coming in 7 years ago and Brent Nussbaum sharing that Nussbaum was a place that hired on character. Mm-hmm. He's like, other trucking companies, I think you said something like other trucking companies don't quite understand, but that's what we do. And I think ideal team player kind of shows what he meant. It's that hardworking, humble workers, right? And we've got just gobs of them here, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just even having that, this is who we are, having it as part of our hiring model, having it as part of our development model, that this is how we want people to work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like creates that good culture that you want to be a part of.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. So as we talk about this too, there is some searching that you have to do in and of yourself,
right,
in order to understand these things, to be able to perceive that I'm not a great communicator or
yeah, hard to admit.
whatever these things are for you. So how do you understand that about yourself, right? How do you realize these things?
Well, you need time, first off. Like if you're always doing stuff, like you need to set aside time for introspection, whatever that looks like, half an hour, where you go walk around the pond and people wonder what's going on. No.
Kick some rocks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Maybe you don't have to do it at News Bomb if you're worried about what other people are going to think. Yeah. But yeah, just like taking some time to introspect and just like come up with like, okay, how am I actually doing? And then if you're married, like your spouse is a great a great one to get feedback on because they see you day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
And your teammates, people on your team that you know will be honest with you. Just giving them a chance to share. Okay, like, yeah, what do you think? Is there ways that I can grow? And if you do that in a humble, just honest questioning, or you could even do like if you think your team won't be honest, like in person, you could send them a short survey or something.
Sure.
Say, hey,
yeah,
I really would like to know, rank me on this anonymous survey. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of different ways.
Would be insightful for sure. Yep. That takes time, but just my last plea for anyone that's curious about looking into this, it can help your work, the people you work with,
not
just your work, but your personal life. If you're married, your marriage.
Yep.
This is like a relational material, right? If you want to be a great team player, it could help with your hobbies, the stuff that you enjoy outside of work, your golf game, whatever it is. This is my plea to check us out because it will make you a better person in that way, right?
And you'll be Steph Curry within 5 years, guaranteed, from Dayton Rumbled.
You can quote me on that.
I just did.
Oh. Sometimes you think that talent just happens, like talent walks in the door and it's like, hey, they're here. But it really is, it's grown.
Yes.
Right? It's something that you have to grow in.
Yeah,
and so this is my encouragement to myself, to Scott, to everyone listening, that let's grow in this together, right? Let's become the hungry. Let's become the humble, hungry, smart people that we want to work with.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I appreciate you being on this. And,
yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was a good conversation. And I'll definitely remember this and all the Steph Curry quotes
that's right.
We had.
Keep
this
going
podcast.
Back to it.
So
very good.
Yeah. So thank you to our listeners for being here. Appreciate you. Thank you to Daniel for running audio and visuals. Until next time, stay purpose driven and own it every moment.
Hey everyone, this is Caleb from Nussbaum Recruiting, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Hope to talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.